2024 is right around the bend. I just turned 50 years old and 9 p.m. has become my new midnight. To close out this stunner of a year, it's a great time to review some basics like budget, debt, and investing. We all want to avoid making the same mistakes in different ways in 2024. Wealth Health Radio is back in the saddle right after this.
And now, Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
Welcome in, everybody. Wealth Health Radio is the program. I'm Steve Siddall. Joe Murphy's here. Joe, an investment advisor, representative, independent fiduciary with Murphy Wealth Management, MWMFinancial.text. Joe, you're talking my language. I love it. 9 o'clock is the new midnight. I'm with you. I'm right there with you. And happy birthday.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. You know, I don't feel much older mentally, but, you know, as we do get older, the body ages and, you know, it's tough to stay up. Like,
I
really need like toothpicks in my eyeballs to stay up past 11. Now it's crazy, but I get up super early. So midnight is something I really don't see much, and it's not going to change going forward, I have a feeling.
I guess not. So I like this. I mean, you know, we say it all the time, but the years go by so quickly, and it certainly goes faster the older you get, it seems. And so let's talk about next year. Let's talk about getting that retirement and income plan in place. And really smoothed out. If you've already got a plan, it's time to take a look at that household budget again and make sure that it's still good.
Without a doubt. And I think budgeting is almost a lost art form. You know, you can look up online, Steve, you know, how to budget or some budget ideas, and there's going to be 50 million results, all not customly tailored to your personal circumstances, your situation, your goals, your time horizon. And, you know, budgeting is critical. It really is. You have to know where your money's going, what's coming in, what you can actually save. And we see a lot of people that either kind of gloss over it or really don't focus on it. And this is how we build wealth, is not spending excessively and making sure we can account for every one of those dollars. And we have those dollars, where possible, working for us. So one of the things that I really wanted to hit on today, Steve, as I talked about in the intro, is the basics. And let's talk a little bit about household budgeting 101.
Sure. Good.
So the very first thing that you want to do, whether you're just starting to budget or you're an old seasoned vet, you want to set some values. You know, what's important to you in 2024? We talk about New Year's resolutions and, you know, sometimes they last for a month or two. We want to create a very simple budget that's easy to follow and tailored to your needs. And the only way that you can do that is if you differentiate yourself from everyone else that's trying to budget, because it's unique to you. So you want your values. You want to write down what's important for you to accomplish this 2024. In this year, what can you do differently, or what do you want to get done? Once you get those values done, and whether it's, you know, paying off some medical debt, getting those credit card debts paid down, or just saving an emergency fund, or popping more money into your retirement plan, whatever those values are, you want to get them into priority and get those into goals. Steve, I'm not sure about you, but I've always been very goal oriented. I'm one of those people that I love to get after it. And only for me to get after it is to know what I'm trying to go for. And having those goals set in stone really helps you gain traction. And what a lot of people don't realize, Steve, is our minds are so incredibly powerful. You can use your mind to help you. And I'm going to share a little trick that I use personally. And this really, really helps me. Once I establish my goals, I write them down on a piece of paper. And I usually take like a top three of what I really want to accomplish, whether it's for the year, short term, and I put them by my nightstand. And every night before I go to bed about 9 o'clock, and every morning when I wake up around 4:30, I read those goals, and I do it religiously. I read them nonstop. I imprint them into my subconscious. So even if I'm not actively pursuing these goals in my day to day, my subconscious is focusing on these things, saying, we got to get after it. I have yet to hit a realistic goal by using this method. Try it. You know, for some people it may work, some people it won't, but if it helps just one person out there get after it, that's what we're all about in this show.
Oh, so absolutely.
It is, Steve. It's getting back to the basics. So that budget becomes so critical. And what can you use? I like simple. I think it was Elizabeth Warren that had that 50-30-20 budgeting. And I think that's a really good, it's a really good guideline to start saving and start doing it simply, because the more complex your budget planning is, the less you're going to do it. Let's face it. Life gets in the way. You want something simple. Every dollar that you bring in, and what this budgeting method is purported, is 50% of the money is going to go towards your needs, you know, your mortgage, your clothes, your groceries. 20% is going to go for your future self, whether that's retirement plans, funding an emergency account, putting more into investments. And then you have 30% on your wants. It's a very simplified way to account for the dollars going in and making sure that you can allocate. Is it exact? No. But if you're not using any type of budgeting system, this can really help you account for all those dollars and making sure that you can identify where excessive spending is occurring in your life. So again, guys, budgeting is critical. You want to have something that works for you. And if you want to use that cash envelope system, which I think is pretty convoluted, remember, I'm not Dave Ramsey or Susie Orman here. I'm an investment advisor. But when it comes down to it, we budget too. Cash is important. You need to know where it's coming in, where it's going out. 101, let's start with that budget 2024. Let's get some newbies out there getting that budget. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know your questions. Love to help you out with it.
And one of the things that comes along with, once we've got that budget in place and we understand where our money, when it's coming in, where it's going out, now let's build that emergency fund. Because I know that that is one of the key steps to starting a retirement plan, is building that emergency fund.
Steve, I can't tell you how many times with our clients that emergency account has turned a potential crisis into a mere inconvenience. That is what it is designed to do. Because look, none of us know what the future is going to hold. Now, life doesn't happen in a straight line, nor does it happen in a vacuum. Things come out of left field. Having that cushion, having that pile of cash that you can pull off on for an emergency will minimize the crisis and make sure that you can sustain through anything that is thrown at you cash-wise, financial-wise. You know, there's things that happen in our life that money can't fix. But for the things that money can fix, having that cushion accessible to you is one of the most important things that you can do, because it will protect your other accounts. People don't realize that. You're not forced to sell stocks. You're not forced to take excessive withdrawals. You have that money sitting there. So how do you do it? You know, what is the rule of thumb with these emergency accounts? Most people say, you know, 3 to 6 months of expenses, you want bankrolled. But that's not for everyone. You know, people that are self-employed, people that run their own businesses, you might want to extend that out to 8 or 9 months, a little bit bigger of a financial cushion, because a lot of people, whether you have your job or you lose it, now you might be paying for medical insurance. You know what kind of cushion that you need in advance and work to build that. Using that 50, 30, 20 budgeting, you know, maybe increase the amount from 20 to 25 and really max fund that emergency account. I guarantee you, if something comes out of left field, you will thank the high heavens that you have that account ready to pull from, protects your other accounts, and gets you through a crisis with minimal financial damage.
You talk 3 to 6 months, and obviously that doesn't happen overnight. And it's okay to build that over 3 to 6 months to build that up, right? I mean, it's probably going to take that long.
It's going to take time. Look, you know, it depends on the cash flow. You know, for some people, it may be easier. For some, it may be harder. And that really boils down to budgeting once again. You know, knowing where every dollar is can help you save, can help you spend less, but you have to be able to identify what you got coming in, what you got going out, and what you can afford to save. The great thing about an emergency account, Steve, almost like a Roth contribution, if you do over contribute to your emergency account, and we don't like to tap on it, this isn't something that, you know, if you run short on your grocery bill, you want to tap your emergency account. It needs to stay for emergencies. But if you make a mistake and let's just say you up it to 25%, you can pull that right out without any consequences. You're not going to be paying any penalties to take money out of your bank account. So max fund that thing. Get that money in there. Just continue to discipline yourself and try and increase that rate. Once you hit that goal of 3, 6, 8 months, whatever your goal is, now you can start diverting those savings to debt. You can start diverting those savings to investments, to retirement. It works like that. The discipline will carry on to other accounts.
Let's talk debt for a second. And especially this time of year, we're really, you know, hesitant. Well, some of us aren't hesitant. Some of us just jump in with both feet to use the credit cards because that's how you get what you need for Christmas, right?
Oh, Steve, the credit card companies are real happy because we're running some massive balances in this country.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And look, like it or not, with these rising prices, Americans are now spending about $12,000 more this year than we were back in 2021-2022 due to these rising costs. So, you know, where do you come up with the extra? Wages have grown a little bit, but inflation has really eaten that wage growth. So people are having to come up with an extra 11 grand a year, the average American family. So where do you go? To the credit card.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
It's the easiest way to maintain that lifestyle, but it's not an answer that is going to sustain you. It's something that's going to compound the problems that you are facing. So getting a budget, again, let's go back to it, getting everything organized. But those credit cards, Steve, they really are. It's running rampant. And the economic situation with credit and debt in our country is getting a little bit nerve-wracking as we go. And these prices just keep steaming upwards.
Well, I mean, if you'll allow, you know, Michael Scott. Scott from The Office has a great philosophy, you know, this time of year from a holiday giving standpoint. Here's what he says in 10 seconds.
Presents are the best way to show someone how much you care. It is like this tangible thing that you can point to and say, hey, man, I love you this many dollars worth.
And that's where you get into trouble.
That's right. Look, it's the holiday season. You know, it feels good to give, and you just got to make sure you're not giving what you actually need to survive. But I get it. You know, we still have to live life.
Because here's what you don't want to have happen, like what happened to Michael.
Yes. I declare bankruptcy!
You can't just say the word bankruptcy and expect anything to happen.
I didn't say it. I declared it.
I declared it.
I declared it. Well, same difference.
Well, anyway, I don't mean to make light of these things, but again, it's such a real thing that we all deal with. And folks, if you're looking for change and getting yourself on track, now's the time to give Joe a call. Come on in, sit down, and really start mapping this process out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, guys? Thank you so much for this year. It's been so much fun getting to know some of our radio listeners out there. And, you know, this is your opportunity. And let's continue this retirement conversation one-on-one. The next 10 callers will be connected with our friendly receptionist to schedule a 15-minute phone call with me. To tackle that retirement behemoth, you just need to start. I know it feels daunting with so many moving parts, but you must begin somewhere. And this call will get you going in the right direction without pressure or stress. Having a retirement plan will help turn a potential crisis into a mere inconvenience. And you don't need to see your entire future laid out in numbers to take that very first step. Here's your chance to make 2024 the year you actually want it to be. Steve, give them that magic number and we'll get to work.
800-930-5905 is the number to call, folks. If you want to take advantage of this complimentary review, call us right now. 800-930-5905, 800-930-5905.
When we come back, more on budgeting and some basics that you can rely on in 2024 right after this.
We're back on Wealth Health Radio. I'm Steve Siddall. Joe Murphy's here. Joe is an independent fiduciary of Murphy Wealth Management, MWMFinancial.tax. As we wind down the year, Joe, I don't know, you are just, one guy told me today, I'm busy as a one-armed paper hanger in a windstorm.
I love those sayings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a little bit chaotic end of year. You know, my allegiance obviously lies with my clients here first. And,
sure,
you know, we took a couple weeks off the radio just so we can make sure that our house is in order and that we have everything ready to go into 2024 and for year end. For investment advisors especially, it's a busy time for the year. So, you know, when it comes down to it, Steve, I love the radio and I love, you know, coming on here to talk to you and talk to our friends on AM 560. But that allegiance has got to lie with that firm. And I'm just so happy to be back and ready to launch into 2024 and really hoping for a much better year here.
Well, so let's talk about goals. I mean, we're just going to continue the conversation. And I mean, I kind of got the goal thing a little bit later in life. And boy, since then, it's as you say, once you write it down, And you review it and you look at, I mean, it's hard not to achieve those goals.
Steve, I had a boss when I was younger, young buck. I was working for an insurance company as a wholesaler. And it was my very first experience into, you know, quote unquote, the Wall Street or the industry. And, you know, this guy was, he was Mr. Wall Street. And he was just, he loved the markets, loved everything. And what he ingrained in me, and he told me this phrase and I'll never forget it. He said, what you focus on expands. And that has never been truer. And every time that I want to do something, I put time into it. I focus on it. And it does expand. If you put the time in, you're going to get out. And that's what I always tell people, look, expect to get out exactly what you put in. And if you don't have the time to put in, make sure you're with the right partner that can help those dreams become reality.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's great. And so if 2023 didn't treat your goals as well as you would hope to, well, okay, it's time to revise them and let's just keep rolling.
Yeah. And revisions are part of life.
Sure.
Look, again, you know, that's why we don't do concrete retirement plans. That's why we do not do those, because life never happens in that arrow. And never, you know, Steve, we've talked on the show in the past. If you could go back, you know, to 2023 from the very beginning to now, did everything happen exactly the way that you envisioned? Probably not, right?
Probably not.
Unless you got, you know, your magic crystal ball there. But, you know, a lot of us don't. And, you know, we have to kind of groove when life throws things at us. And that means revisions. That means revising goals. That means revising plans. That's the fun of working with a partnership with an investment advisor and a retirement planner. Because as things come at you, we can adapt. And I love that. I love doing things on the fly. And we set up our clients. So when things go off the rails, we know that we have a route that we can take. Without planning, you have no idea. You're flying by the seat of your pants. You're reacting to things instead of being proactive. And that's a big difference. And that's where planning comes into place. But be okay with revisions. It's not going to happen exactly the way you think. We're talking a 10, 15, 20, 30 year time period that we're planning for. Things may go off the rails. You want to make sure that you have the ability to adapt.
Absolutely. So, and then we're talking about revisiting our asset allocation. And that's something that we talk about often, Joe, and it is, and now is a good time to take a look, make sure that things are where they should be in your mind.
I think so. And when we talk about asset allocation, Steve, you know, time and health are in there as well. You know, your time horizon is part of your asset allocation. Your health is part of that. And those two things should really determine where you have your money invested. And what we see, Steve, and this is no, I mean, it's a lot of people. We see people way, 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 way too aggressive later in life with a shorter time horizon. So if we do have a black swan event or things get wiped out in the market, you're going to be reacting. And it might not be the end result that you really want. And that's why asset allocation is very critical, because we cannot predict the future. We do not know. And what asset allocation does is it hedges your bets. So you want an asset allocation that can perform well in many different environments, not just one. So if you load up 100% on tech and something happens in that tech sector, you know, you could be going for a ride that you don't want to go for. So yeah. Asset allocation really becomes important, and you want to consider your time horizon, your personal risk tolerance. You know, how do you feel about losses? You know, are you willing to assume that if things do go down, how are you going to be? And we can set up portfolios that are diversified in different asset classes to give our clients buoyancy when maybe straight stock equities aren't performing as well. So having that asset allocation, focusing on it and making sure it's in tune to your time horizon and your goals, critical component of a successful retirement plan.
Sure. And so as we start to look at these as we adjust our asset allocation, obviously the risk factor becomes a bigger play.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, look, you know, again, what we see is major aggression, you know, and that's paid very well for a lot of people. So, you know, it's been doing well for 12 years. Why change it now? Mm-hmm. Because your ability to recover is shrinking every day that you're on planet Earth. So as that time to recover starts shrinking, you want to be more guarded over those assets that you work so long to build and grow. And if you do, look at your portfolio, look at what you're depending on it for. Are you depending on it for income to fuel your life? And if the answer is yes, I don't think you want to roll the dice with your retirement. It doesn't mean you have to get out of the market. It just means you want to hedge your bets.
Sure. So, and as we look at this, we talk about establishing or revising your estate plan. And we talk about estate planning, and you know, the good news is you've got relationships with estate planning attorneys so that you can help that if you don't have an estate plan in place, or you know, maybe you're feeling that it's time you really put one together.
Without a doubt. My guy Brian is aces, and he is absolutely fantastic. I'm surprised with how few people really want to tackle an estate plan. Just the mere mention of it, sometimes it's just like, oh my gosh, I'll do that later.
Right. Oh,
but,
that,
you know,
is the,
having the,
that is the key.
It is the key, but having those basic documents, Steve, I can't even tell you how important that is, because you don't want the state of Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, wherever you're listening to this show at, determining what happens with your assets. You don't want that. You want your wishes laid out, and those things can change, and you want to have a review. So if you did an estate plan, you know, 10 years ago, it's probably time to get a review. Remember, those power of attorneys are only good for so long. So you want to get a set of eyeballs on it. And I know we just ran the show I had with Brian last week, and we got a lot of phone calls from a lot of people on AM 560 that wanted to know more. So if you are curious about an estate plan, you do need a will, you do need a power of attorney, you want to set up those advanced directives, this is an opportunity for you to call in and start tackling that. Remember, you do not need to see that entire staircase to take the first step. The first step is the want, the need. I want this. And then you make that call, and we can put a plan together to get you insulated and make sure that estate plan goes with you to and through retirement.
I love that. And this is something that, you know, again, it's time to review the beneficiaries as well in that estate plan, making sure that it's all in place.
Oh, I can't tell you how important that is. Beneficiary review, Steve. It should be 101, and it's not. Especially we see it with a lot of bank accounts. They are left without a beneficiary. And most bankers out there, you know, they're busy. They're not going to take the step of saying, do you want to add a beneficiary to this account? Or if they do, then a lot of people must say no. Because we do see a lot of bank accounts, money markets, things like that, with no beneficiary. It is really important as you're getting older and older and you're really focusing on that wealth transfer, whether it's for your spouse or whether it is for your kids or your grandkids, you want to make sure that you have up-to-date beneficiary review, life insurance policies, investment accounts, bank accounts. You should have those beneficiaries in place. It will create nothing but headaches not having that beneficiary designated, and it helps to review these. If you have a life change, if you have an anniversary, that is your time to review these beneficiaries. And if you do an estate plan, that is going to be reviewed for you.
Right. And folks, if you want to get a head start, it's 800-930-5905. Let's talk life insurance for a second. I think,
sure.
As you've said before, Joe, and I certainly have learned that life insurance can be really the most underutilized great tool out there.
Oh, it's a fantastic tool. And look, these rates have never been higher. The great thing about life insurance is it can be used for so many different things, not just a death benefit for a certain period of time or for the rest of your life, but it can be used as a cash holding tank. Remember, life insurance is a special tax designation. That cash value inside that account can actually be pulled in the form of a policy loan 100% tax-free. We have a lot of high net worth people that stock money into these life insurance policies that have a little piggy bank that they can take money out 100% tax-free in the form of a loan. That's the regulation that the life insurance companies need to put out there to get it classified as a loan, but it's something you don't need to pay back. If you don't pay it back, it just subtracts from the death benefit plus interest when you pass away. So these are things that, you know, you're probably not going to get from your local bank broker. These are the things that we look, you know, the rules are set in place. As long as we're not breaking rules, we can use these things to our client's advantage. Until they change that code, we are full bore, but we love life insurance, not just for the tax-free death benefit that it provides, but also those living benefits for the insured. And then also the ability to create tax-free cash and cash value, nice little piggy piggy bank, as these rates are probably headed up, you now have a safe haven that you can pull money off of in the form of a loan without Uncle Sam saying, hey, I want my share.
Nice. I like the sound of it. 800-930-5905. All right. So we got through all of that. Now, how about on to some questions that might make sense for folks?
Sure. I like questions.
All right. So here it is. And this is something that, you know, conversation that you obviously will have. And the big question is, so when do you want to retire? When are you done?
And that's the fun one. That's the nerve-wracking one, Steve, that we get is, you know, in your perfect world, when is your exit date? When do you get to tell your boss, take this job and shove it? That's a fun process because we need to examine resources. We need to look at guaranteed sources of income.
Take
you know,
this
we need
job and shove. I ain't working here no more.
I knew I had that for a reason.
I love it. I can't believe you had that. I've been saying that on this show for, I don't know, since I started.
I know.
And I think I've seen that movie like one time, but it always rang true with me, as our listeners can probably tell.
Anyway, I don't mean to interrupt, but we do need to take a quick break, Joe. So.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, let's remind folks how to get in touch.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And this is your opportunity. We're headed towards the holidays. So if you have those burning questions that have been in the back of your mind and you're not sure who to ask, this fiduciary financial advisor that's in your ear right now will answer those questions mano a mano on a telephone call. Our receptionists are waiting. Steve's going to give that magic number. You can ask those burning financial questions to me, Joe Murphy, and I will get you the answers you need. Steve, give them that number and we'll get to work.
800-930-5905. It is just that simple, folks. 800-930-5905. That's the goal of the show, is to help you make the best decisions for you. 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905.
When we come back, the 13 most important retirement planning questions and answers to all of them. We kick off the list right after this.
We're back on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy. I'm Steve Siddall. This has, again, been one of these shows where we just cover so much ground. I love getting back to the basics sometimes. It's really, I've said this before, but I think, you know, for me personally, you know, you get so caught up in talking about all of this stuff every day that you just think everybody knows what you know and they don't.
That is so true. And I'm probably the most guilty of that because I go rambling on. So it does. And that's why I was really excited to do this show today, because it does bring it back to the basics and it starts that foundation. So if you're a new listener, if you just started listening the last couple of weeks, we wanted to revisit some of these basics to give you foundational information so you have the ability to take that next step. You kind of know what you're looking for. Some people, look, they didn't teach this stuff in schools. You know, this is not part of the core curriculum. No one gives you this financial advice. So you're trying to figure it out on your own. A lot of people don't even know the right questions to ask. That's why we want to dial it back, Steve. Bring in the basics. So I know you got a bunch of questions that you're going to ask me, and I'm going to rip through, answer them the best I can, and hopefully we educate our listeners today here on Wealth Health Radio.
We started we ended the last segment with a question. So when do you want to retire? That's just it. And you said that's a fun question to ask.
It really is, because you see the eyes get big and some people get a little bit, okay, well, I'm not ready. And they're not even, you know, whether you think or you don't, you know, the day is going to come. So you want to make sure that you're prepared. But at what age when do you want to retire? Mm-hmm. It's a common question, and it should be, because we have clients, you know, that are retiring at age 45. We have clients that are retiring at age 75. There's a big age gap between those two. So when you retire is going to be based on your resources, your lifestyle. How much does your life cost you? How long can we make these resources last to sustain that life? You know, we have to couple in inflation. We have to couple in investment volatility. So when can you retire? That is going to be based on your numbers and what you need to spend.
Okay. And so then there comes the question of, so how much have you saved for retirement? And again, that can be a tricky question.
It really is. And, you know, what resources are available to fund your life? You know, that's the real question, is what have you saved? What have you saved for your future self to fund that? Do you have guaranteed sources of income outside of Social Security? You know, we've talked on this show before about the risk to Social Security in the 2030s. We're most likely looking at a drop here. Have you planned for that contingency? It's all going to depend on how well you've saved. And if you're listening to this show and be like, I know I'm behind, we can show you some tricks to get caught up using the catch-up provisions, starting a Roth IRA. There's things that you can do, but you need to start. That's the main thing, is taking that first step is the scariest. But once you start going into it, it's like riding a bike. It's almost addictive, Steve, to start seeing that savings really grow. And once you start seeing it, it becomes easier and easier to separate your money from spending into saving.
It's very empowering, Joe. There's no question about it. And again, it's an like you said, it's an exciting thing to watch the money start to grow, because then you're right. You don't want to spend it. You just want to save it.
Yeah, you want to keep seeing those numbers go
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially when you're investing it, Steve, and then you can really see the dramatic impact. Is, you know, a dollar that I saved, you know, 10 years ago is now worth $50. When you see something like that, mm-hmm. it really is a catalyst for you to save more and more and more. But if you stick your head in the sand and you don't start, you're never going to know. So for all our newbies out there that are just starting to listen to this show, this is your opportunity to begin. And that's what we want to get out there. It's never too late, but you got to start.
And then how much do you need to retire comfortably? You put it another way, how much of your current lifestyle do you want to maintain? And if it's all of it, well, then that's a good discussion to have.
I would say 99.9% of the retirement plans that we do, that's the question that we ask. And people say, I want to live the same. Why would I want to change?
Exactly.
You know, I work my tail off.
Right.
I want these next 20 years to be relaxing and everything that I dreamed of. I want to travel a lot. We know that spending, Steve, in retirement goes through three major phases. And we partner our retirement income plans to match that for most people, unless we interview them and there's something different that they want to accomplish. But
sure.
for a lot of people, that first phase of spending is going to be the largest expenditures out of your retirement savings, because you're going to have what? Bucket list. You're going to want to travel. You're going to want to go out. You're going to want to do all those things you couldn't do while you were working. So that is usually the biggest phase of spending. And if you're one of those people that wants to hit the ground running, we got a retirement income plan for you, especially if you've saved all of your retirement assets in those pre-tax plans like 401ks, IRA. I got a secret to show you. So if you have an opportunity, give the show a call and I'll tell you one-on-one what we can do to get you moving in the right direction.
800-930-5905. It is that simple to make to find out. And so I like this one. How many years are you planning to be retired for? And that's a question that, until I saw it here, it was like, well, I never thought about that. But I mean, I guess I know we're living longer. We talk about that all the time. But again, to put an end on it is sort of a weird question.
It is. And, you know, I have to talk about some not so fun things
right.
through the course of a retirement plan. And that's one of the things that we have to look at is time horizon. It's critical because we have to know how long we are funding for. One of the key things that we can do now is we're asking our clients, you know, how long did mom and dad live? You know, is there anything in your family, anything that could come out? And if we have parents that lived in their 90s, I know what I'm planning for. I'm planning for a long retirement. But if we had premature passing of, you know, a parent or both parents, we know that we want to pack a lot into a shorter retirement. We don't want to blow it all just in case there's an anomaly, but we want to make sure that we're matching up that time horizon with longevity, because there is the possibility of not living long enough and getting the most out of retirement, as well as living too long and running out of money before you run out of life. There is a balance, a middle ground, and that's what we strive to achieve for our clients, to make sure the volatile ups and downs of whatever happens doesn't mean that you run short and doesn't mean you don't get the most bang for your buck.
So how does my risk tolerance change over the years if I'm 10 years from retirement versus 18 months from retirement?
Well, it should. You know, how much risk are you willing to part with? Because if you're retiring in a short amount of time, Steve, and all of a sudden something comes out of left field like a black swan and the market goes down 30%, that retirement probably is going to be put on hold. And it happened, you know, it just happened in 2020. We had a lot of clients that were coming on and then the market went down crazy and then there was panic. You don't know how you're going to react until you're in that situation. And I know I've heard stories from people during that market drop in 2020, they pushed that panic button and they assumed those losses, whether they had an investment advisor on their side or not, it doesn't matter. Sometimes when you're in that moment, it's so scary because you have your focal point. You are basically already retired. You're mentally gone. And now all of a sudden, those resources that you were depending on so greatly is succumbing to something completely out of your control. And that doesn't look the same now. That is so scary. And I wish that upon no one. So having that risk tolerance, what we do with our investment clients is we put that on something called a glide path, Steve. And what it does is automatically reduces the amount of risk that our retirees are taking as they get older, as their time horizon continues to shrink. It makes no sense, unless you have an account that you don't need to depend on, to take real aggression in this type of market at that age with that kind of time horizon.
All right. I like it. 800-930-5905. And then I like this one too. What investments or savings vehicles are you using to build your retirement income? So we're talking about everything from, you know, an IRA to an annuity.
Yeah, actually, the vehicles that we're going to use, obviously, we're big on investments. We're an investment advisor. So, you know, looking at taking a percentage off the investment accounts, that's a nice supplement, but we don't know for sure where it's going to be. We hope it's going to be up, but it could be down as well. That means we have the ability to adapt that percentage. It's fluid. I don't go by some rigid 4% rule. We go by what our numbers tell us about our client. The second thing that we can obviously do is annuities are wonderful sidecar because they offer pension-like income. And the annuity can act as a hedge on the investment account. Because remember, the annuities are guaranteed. The annuities that we use will grow indexed, no market risk. You still can enjoy upside market potential with no downside risk on that side. So you could have some decent growth in that thing. But one difference, you will have no losses. Zero is the worst that you can do. That account can be used to hedge an investment account and allow you to get a little bit more aggressive on that side, knowing that you have your income guaranteed by the annuity.
Mm-hmm. And again, that whole annuity conversation, we've done whole shows about that in the past. And again, it's worth talking about, especially if you're curious, folks, if you're wondering, you know, annuities are not all a bad thing. And Joe certainly can you walk you down that path?
Steve, I think that's a great point. And no, you know, everything has pros and cons, and you know, there's good and bad. I think there's today probably 4,000 different types of annuities out there.
Oh my gosh,
variable,
really?
Fixed, yes, indexed, immediate, and each one has its own, you know, pro and own con. And yeah, really have to be with someone that understands. I've been using annuities for over 20 years. I know these things inside and out. I've gotten real comfortable with which ones we are good with using for our clients. And the very first thing is the financials of the company. I want an A+ rated carrier. I need to know that they have the reserves if, you know, crud hits the fan, mm-hmm. that my clients are safe. We also want to look at that payout. I want to see what my clients are guaranteed and then potential growth. I want to see that these things can actually move in up markets. We know they're guaranteed against risk, but you know, if the market returns 15 and this thing's doing 3, probably not a good idea for my client. But over time, we have weeded out the cruddy ones and we've incorporated the ones that we feel best fit our client's situation. I like what annuities do. I don't care what they're called. I want to know what they do for our clients and the guarantees that are involved through the company. And that's the main thing with annuities, is you really have to be careful which ones you incorporate, because there are some doozies out there. There's some stinkers. And if you have questions, happy to review that. Use your burning question to ask me. Say, Joe, I got this annuity from this company. What do you think? Happily answer it. No stress, no obligation. Just get some facts on what you got or what you're considering.
Exactly. 800-930-5905. Joe, we are up against the clock already again. Holy cow, this went fast.
Well, absolutely burning. And again, end of year, this is your time to ask those burning financial questions. And whether it's an annuity, it's an investment, it's income, it's a retirement plan, whatever is going on in your head that you want to accomplish in 2024 financial, you have a fiduciary financial advisor in your ear saying, hey, give me a call and I'll answer your questions. Steve, give our listeners that magic number. We'll get to work and we'll get our listeners the answers that they need.
You got it, 800-930-5905. It is that simple to get started, folks, 800-930-5905. That's why we give you the opportunity to review your individual circumstances, no cost, no obligation. Find out about, well, how much you're paying in fees or commissions. What about tax liabilities and a lifetime retirement income plan? Yep, all of those things are what we're talking about and what you can discuss with Joe and the team. It's an opportunity for you to take advantage of this complimentary review by simply picking up the phone and calling us, 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905.
Listeners have questions, and we've got some answers. That and more coming up right after this.
And we're back on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy. I'm Steve Siddall, and this is our final segment. That means we turn to the listeners, turn to you. Let's just jump into some questions here. We'll start with Harvey. How's that?
Okay.
Here's Harvey. He says, should I elect to put my bonus into my 401k? Now, I've heard conflicting advice, but I don't understand the downside.
Well, Harvey, excellent question. And it's going to be a personal choice whether or not you put this in. And here's why. I would love to see you, Harvey, put that whole thing in there, because you're going to do what? You're not going to have to pay the taxes by deferring it into your 401k, which is fantastic. And that's the whole point. And you're paying your future self. A lot of people want to take that bonus, and rightly so. And maybe they want to splurge. Maybe they're going to put in a pool or buy that car they wanted or pay down debt, which would be even better. But how do you know what to put in? And that's the thing. You have to look at your overall contributions. For highly compensated workers, this is going to be a little bit more of a math problem. But for some people, you just want to see, okay, where is my limit? You know, how much room do I have? How much can I actually put in? Because remember, there's contribution limits on these 401ks annually. And, you know, if you get a bonus in, say, April, and you pop that bonus in and it maxes you out, you're not going to get the match for the rest of the year. So there's some things that you have to consider here. But one of the things that you have to look at is, how is this going to be taxed if you receive it? Some employers are going to tax it at 22% federally. Some are going to include it with your regular pay and tax the whole amount. So you really want to know how you're being taxed, what your overall income is, if it makes sense for you to defer this bonus into your 401k. So you are lowering your taxable income. And that's the bottom line for tax efficiency. The less that we can have countable or taxable income-wise for the IRS, the better. But you need to make sure that obviously you don't need that money for bills or anything like that. But if you're faced with how much should I put in, call us. We'll look at what you've contributed to date. We'll see what kind of room you have, see where your tax situation is, and then we can make a call and say, hey, this is what we recommend.
All right. Up
to you, but definitely a good idea to really jumpstart that 401k and that retirement savings by putting some or all of that bonus into your 401k.
Well, that's what Clark Griswold was going to do in the movie Christmas Vacation. He was going to.
We watch that movie every year.
Oh, we do too. But here's where he's talking about that bonus.
My bonus.
Open it, Clarky. Open it.
With this bonus check, I'm putting in a swimming pool. I've been waiting for this bonus to make sure the pool goes in as soon as the ground thaws. I had to lay out the money in advance, and until this little miracle arrived, I didn't have enough in my account to cover the check I wrote. There's enough left over. I'm going to fly you all down here to help us dedicate.
I can't swim, Clark.
Clark, what's wrong? What is it?
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
The whole year.
Oh, yeah. So,
as long as I had it here, I thought I'd play it for you.
Absolutely. I put my hand around Clark and be like, Clark, never, ever, ever spend money before you actually have it.
Exactly.
He was making promises and you didn't even open it yet.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
oh,
that's
I
always
that
fun.
Yeah,
it's
thanks
always
for playing
fun.
That.
All right, Harvey, there you go. 800-930-5905. Peyton has a question. She's wondering, I would like to do a Roth conversion this year for the first time. Now, is this as simple as withdrawing up to the amount that puts me at the top of the tax bracket I am in without the conversion? Thanks in advance.
Peyton, this is your opportunity. Give me a call, because that's the very, very first step. And look, Roth conversions can be confusing. You can make mistakes, and now all of a sudden you're recharacterizing things. You don't want to get in that situation. Peyton, it all depends. Are you going to be, and here's the main question that you want to ask yourself when you're contemplating a Roth conversion. Am I going to be in a higher tax bracket in retirement? And if the answer is yes, then we definitely want to tackle some Roth conversions. Because remember, this IRA money or 401k money is all pre-tax. So when you do take it out, it's coming out as ordinary income. So you're going to be taxed 100%. It's never been taxed. It all comes out taxable. So getting this converted now at tax rates today, does it make sense for you? There's a break-even point. You also have to look at your time horizon, Peyton. I'm not sure how old you are, but the younger that you are when you do Roth conversions, the bigger the effect. Because remember, you're putting into tax-free growth. So it is a wonderful thing, but it is not for everyone. You should not do Roth conversions just to do Roth conversions, because you end up paying more taxes for no reason. And if you're in a lower tax bracket in retirement, hang on to that pre-tax money, because you're going to be able to have more growth because you're not converting it and giving that government to the, or giving that money to the government. So there is a formula here, Peyton. We have it. We can help you. Give us a call. We'll get you going if the Roth conversion is right or wrong for your situation.
Sure. Well, it's a little late this year, isn't it? Because it has to be done by the end of the year. So make it a plan for next year, Peyton, right?
Yep. Thank you. Yeah, because we can't do any last minute. I think the last date to do conversions for our custodian is the 18th, I believe. So it's coming up. We've already completed ours.
Already
but
done.
Peyton, give me a call. We'll get you on a schedule, buddy.
All right. I like it. Terry has a question. She says, at what age do required minimum distributions kick in? I'm 67 right now. What kinds of accounts do they apply to? I have a mix of Roth and conventional IRAs, 401ks, and annuities totaling about $1 million with about $500,000 in cash accounts. How do you calculate what the RMD would be, and will this help me or hurt me? Well, don't pay it and it'll hurt you.
Well, yeah, you don't want to. Now, at least with the Secure Act 2.0, that crazy penalty on not taking the RMD is down to 25%. And if you have a verifiable reason, like you weren't sure, we can usually hopefully petition the IRS to get that waived. So if you did make a mistake with not taking your RMD, there is potential. There is a potential consequence of that 25%, but there's also the possibility of getting that waived. So if you're in that situation, this is somewhere you want to go to your tax expert and just say, hey, I need a little bit of help here. For you, Terry, the RMDs are going to be, per the Secure Act 2.0, is 73. So you're 67 now. You got a little bit of time before those RMDs start kicking in that April following the year that you turn 73. You are required, based on the life expectancy tables that are printed by the IRS. There's also a ballpark percentage if you just want to get ballpark. They're converted into percentages to make it easier to read. But you do the calculations based on your life expectancy on your overall pre-tax balance as of 12/31 the previous year. So the IRS is looking at your fair market value 12/31, not your current value today. When you are looking to take your RMD, it's based on that 12/31 value. Remember that, because with the volatility in the markets, it can be drastically different. So you want to make sure that you're calculating it on the right amount. Use that life expectancy table. You're going to look at your age. You're going to look at your gender. You're going to apply that factor, and you're going to see what you are required to take out of your overall balance. With 401ks, you must take your RMD from each individual 401k. That's nonsense. That's so much extra work. With IRAs, you have the ability to take all your RMDs from one account. So 401ks are going to come up with a lot more work. The IRAs are much easier to maintain. So with that being said, Terry, this is an excellent opportunity for you to get a calculation to see what these RMDs are, and maybe in your situation, start distributing or paying taxes on some of this pre-tax to lower that overall pre-tax balance. In essence, that will decrease your RMD. Because remember, RMDs are designed to backload income when you least need it in that second and third phase of spending. Having a required minimum distribution plan is critical. With a retirement plan, you won't be traveling down this road and saying, oh no, now I can't change it. You got to head it off at the pass. You got to plan.
And again, she or he has some Roth activity mm-hmm. as well. So, I mean, that's a good thing that they've already started down that path. And again, it's just a matter of having the conversation and working it out. Sounds like she's in good shape or he's in good shape.
Steve, yeah, Terry, we're not sure. But either way, it doesn't matter because Terry has that beautiful Roth IRA account. And is basically decoupled. Remember the five-year rule, guys. So if you just set up a Roth and you're over 59 and a half, you still have 5 years until you can take those earnings tax-free. Your contributions can come in and out. No penalties, no harm, no foul. But you need to make sure you understand that five-year rule because we've seen that in the past where someone's over 59 and a half and they started trying to take their earnings out after 3 years. You got a five-year rule attached with that Roth. Make sure it's established. Terry, you seem like you're in good shape, very well diversified on the account level. That's what we want to see. So we can use tax efficiency in retirement to determine which accounts we want to pull from that are going to be most tax efficient for the money that you need to draw.
All right, I like that. 800-930-5905. One final question from Angie, and this is a loaded question. What's going to happen to retirement accounts in this market? Well, in any market, I guess, huh?
Well, right now it's kind of blast off, so you know they're definitely moving in the right direction. How long this goes, nobody knows. We're looking at the numbers that are coming back on the GDP. We're looking at look, retirement accounts are no different than investment accounts. You're still invested in a stock portfolio or however you are allocated into equities. There's volatility. Again, this is where you need to really understand, Angie, your time horizon, your personal risk tolerance. If you haven't done a risk questionnaire in a long time, probably a good time to revisit. We have a really cool risk tolerance questionnaire, Steve. It basically allows the client to envision themselves as a gambler. And how would you face gambling in different situations? It allows us to assess risk in a really fun, creative, cool way. So we can see how our clients approach different scenarios and what they would put on the table in a certain event. It's a lot of fun for our clients, but it really gets us on the same page with how much risk they're willing to assume because we don't know. Look, there's been crashes in the past. There's been crazy bull markets. What are you willing to roll the dice on here? There's asset allocation, diversification can help insulate you. But if you're 100% aggressive and things go south, your retirement account offers no protection to market risk.
All right. Well, again, 800-930-5905. We could go on from there, but at this point, we need to wrap it up for today, Joe.
I can't believe we're already at the last segment. So here we go, guys. Ding, 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 ding. And it is the holiday season. And this week, we're just going to real laid back, real cool. Next 10 callers are going to be connected with our reception to set a 15-minute phone call with me. This is your opportunity to ask those burning financial questions to this fiduciary financial advisor that's in your ear right now. Whether it's investments, whether it's retirement income, whether you have a question on an annuity, whatever it may be, this is your time to schedule that one-on-one 15-minute call with me. And Steve's going to give you that number here shortly. Let's get him that number, Steve, and we will get to work.
800-930-5905. Great opportunity to come on in, sit down, get a financial roadmap put together. 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905. Joe, as always, one of my favorite hours of the week. It goes by so quickly, but again, great information and good conversation.
Yeah, it's Steve. I always look forward to it and back on the radio after a couple week break, and we'll be here through the holidays as much as possible. So excited to see where we can get to, Steve. Have a great week, and everyone out there have an awesome week, and we'll talk again soon.
The content of this radio show is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any type of securities. Joe Murphy, MWM Advisory Group, and Murphy Wealth Management are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of the information provided in this radio show and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Joe Murphy and his guests as the date of this show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on the assumptions and actual results may vary from such statements or forecasts. forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making any investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on the information provided today in making any investment decision. There is a risk of loss from investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for a particular investor's financial situation or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.